The gospel reading that is put before us is not easy. It is challenging, and in many ways it is difficult to understand. I would like to reflect with you this evening on that gospel reading within a context. And the context is the world that you and I know and the world in which you and I live. For Western people, we live in what is described as a postmodern world. A world that issued and drew itself into formation over the past better than 100 years. A world that in part finds its roots in Western Europe and Eastern Europe. A world that in part emerges out of the experience of two great wars. For you and for me, we often think of the First World War and the Second World War. Most Europeans think of it as just one war with a short intermission between the first and the second part. The world as it was known came to an end for Western Europe and Eastern Europe. The relationships that had been taken for granted were sundered. The beliefs that were assumed were shattered. And individuals ended up very much facing a destroyed life. Economies crumbled, states crumbled, families were torn apart, death was rampant, suffering of the innocent was widespread. Opportunities were severely limited, and human beings were reduced to very little more than an animal existence. In all of this, God seemed to be absent. In all of this, men and women cried out, and there was no answer. In all of this, the appreciation of religious truth for many people evaporated. And out of that experience, there arose a sense of the individual as being all there is, and that associations or collaborations or relationships among people were seen as utilitarian and having no value in themselves. And so they developed a kind of way of living, a way of living that did not need God, a way of living that sought the advancement of the individual, a way of living in which truth was what works for me, a way of living in which what is moral is what advances my plan, my desire, my life, my hope, my dream. And that's pretty much the picture of the Western world. That's pretty much the picture of the social condition into which you and I live our lives. Now, in that context, Jesus has something to say. He says to his disciples, "What will you gain? What will you profit if you truly do win all the world for yourself?" but in the process destroy your very life. What you and I, as men and women of faith, hold is that the human being is created in the image and likeness of God. That every single human being is the image of the living God. Secondly, we hold that human beings and all of the created universe are called to be interdependent upon each other. That no one is an island. That human beings are called to be sisters and brothers to each other. That the very nature of human life is that it be interdependent and relational. And that there is no place for the rugged individualist. Thirdly, we believe that men and women created in the image and likeness of God are created in the image and likeness of the Creator. And that the work of creation is work that is put into your hands and into mine. That we are meant to be creative beings. We are meant to participate in the creative power of God. That our perfection is found in our living out who we are. And finally, it is in every aspect of human life that this image of God is meant to be proclaimed. It's in every aspect of our lives that we are meant to radiate who we are. And perhaps for all of us, a huge chunk of that life is what you and I would call our work life. So I would like to reflect on this gospel and the challenge of Jesus in light of work, in light of labor, in light of what we celebrate this Labor Day weekend. Work flows from the very nature of the human being. It is in one's work that the talents and the gifts with which you and I have been endowed very often find expression. It is also in one's work that one serves the broader good. That our interdependence is found or expressed in a variety of ways, but it is expressed in that the work I do has an effect on the life of my neighbor. And the work of my neighbor has an effect on my life. Thirdly, the work that human beings do is the entree, the entrance into human beings' ability to provide for themselves and their families and the society in which they live. That human beings are entitled to the fruit of their labor. That a human being invests so much of himself or herself in the work he or she does that the fruit of that is an extension of the person. And that to be able to receive a just return for one's work is nothing less than affirming the dignity of the human being who is the very image of God. Workers are not cogs in a wheel, in the wheel of a society. Workers are men and women with free wills and intellects who bring those gifts for the good of all. Now, when the work that one does is treated cheaply, or when the worker is treated with disrespect, what truly is at stake is the very image of God. It is the soiling, the tearing, the rending of the very image of God. When you and I bring our talent and our effort to our work, we are challenged to excellence, to do the best that is within us. For anything less defaces the image of God. We are called to recognize that we are not the owners of this world. We are the stewards of this world. And that we are called in a creative fashion to join with God in the conserving and the creation of the universe. That the gifts that I have received are gifts not only for me, but gifts that through me will enable and enhance the lives of others. Work is a high calling for every human being. It is in the work we do that the face of the Creator God is made manifest. Now, the challenge that is present in every society is that the work and the worker be seen as good, dignified, and worthy. And thus the worker is entitled to be treated with dignity and to receive the full measure of the work of his or her hands. The dignity of the human being demands that a person and family be able to live and to progress in such a way as all that is needed for life is available. That a person have adequate food and shelter and clothing. That a family and that an individual receive the appropriate medical care that he or she needs. That a society looks to the education and the formation of yet another generation that calls out of young people the best that God has placed within them. That a person is entitled to live his or her older years, declining years, with respect and with dignity. That the truth and the goodness of a society is to be found in the manner in which its citizens share the goods, the common goods, available within that society. And that every citizen be seen as a person of dignity and value and goodness. Well, so Jesus says to his disciples, it's not that you live for yourselves, It's not that you have been given all of this for your own gratification. You have been given it so that you might love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And so that you might love your neighbor truly as you do love yourself. What Jesus calls his disciples to do is to embrace the kind of love which he demonstrates for all. And that's precisely what the cross is. The cross is my willingness to say that my life is more than mine, that my purpose is more than my desire and my want, that my fulfillment is found in the love of God and the love of neighbor. So Jesus says to his disciples, take that mind upon you. Take that and begin to walk in my steps. And remember that if all you do is look to yourself, you truly may gain the whole world, but in the process, you will lose. In the process, you will destroy that self.